All right, are we okay in the booth?
Yeah, all levels set. Very good. Talent out here is ready as usual. Get my notes already. Not that I ever look at them. okay, we're all set. Yeah. Okay, put it in the book. 127, episode 127. All right, Jim, here we go. Your three S's: star, smile, strong. All right, let's do this thing. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. A new episode is posted bright and early every Monday morning for your podcasting pleasure. What a better way to start the week, right? Than a new podcast, cup of coffee, and a podcast. Elton Jim, Sunny Side Up. And don't forget that landing page, of course. Go to the entertainment section on WGNplus.com. Go to the prompt that says Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and you will find all previous 126 episodes of said podcast for your binge-worthy pleasure. And that means that this, of course, is number 127. And if you have been around for all 127, we certainly appreciate your loyalty. And thank you for clicking and swiping and surfing and whatever it is you do on whatever device you use in order to listen to this on a regular basis. And as I've said many times, it will do you well to go back to those previous episodes, because many times I do refer back to those. My hope is that this is an ongoing conversation between you and me. And so I will often refer to previous podcasts, whether they are 2 weeks ago, 6 months ago, 1 year ago, 2 years ago. Yeah, it's been over 2 years. So yeah, just to keep up to date, I would suggest that you carve out some time and go back if you were a new listener. If you somehow found us and you like what you hear, go back and listen to some of the first ones, so you'll know exactly where what we're talking about and where I stand. The podcast world is somewhat limited in that we don't have that immediate ability to talk in real time, which is what I do miss most about not being on the radio. But hopefully, there's some lines of communication going on. And also, if you ever have any questions about the podcast or comments about it, you always go to my Facebook page, which is just Jim Toronto, T-U-R-A-N-O, on Facebook. It's also under Elton Jim, I believe. But always some lines of communications open in this big multi-platformed world. And if you've listened to me with any kind of regularity, whether it is through the podcast or on the radio side, you should know, you may remember, perhaps you don't. As I said, if you're new to this, then maybe this is a new revelation. But we are in the midst of the Halloween season. And Halloween has certainly risen in its popularity over the last 15 or 20 years. It was always popular with little kids, obviously. But over the last 20 years, as we have more generations that don't really want to ever grow up, many of the childhood memories or childhood traditions are carried on well into adulthood. And so now Halloween is certainly a millennial as well as a Generation X tradition now that is inching up to, combat even Christmas in terms of decorations. My gosh, you walk down most neighborhood streets now and you will see very elaborate displays outside people's homes. So yeah, we are in the middle of Halloween, and I have a love-hate relationship with Halloween. As a little kid, I loved Halloween. I loved the costumes, and always had a combination of either homemade costumes, which was always fun to do, or good old store-bought ones. Now today, so many costumes are available. There are a lot of costume shops, and they are very elaborate, and they're very expensive. When I was a little kid, and many people from a certain generation will remember that when you went to department stores of the day, like Sears and Goldblatt's and Polk Brothers, that was here in the Chicago area, but major ones too, like Kmart and whatever kind of major department stores were in your area. Back in the 70s, there, when it was Halloween time, there weren't a lot of decorations for sale like there are now. My gosh, if you go to Target, there's a whole section of two or three aisles of Halloween decorations. It wasn't that big, but there always was at least one wall at Halloween time of costumes. And what was interesting about them, and you don't really see them anymore, maybe you do, I don't really shop for them as much, but when I've gone to places like Target, I don't see them as much, so I don't think so. They used to come in a box. They were kind of cheaply made. They were very dangerous. They used to have, it was a hard plastic, but it was a sharp plastic. It was light, but it was sharp on the edges, and it had metal, two little metal holders for the elastic. But it was basically a plastic mask. Maybe it wasn't plastic, but whatever it was sharp. And there was a few little air holes, but they always weren't. They weren't sufficient, I don't think. It was a weird, and they were very small eye holes. They weren't safe at all, especially with little kids crossing the street. I remember you had to physically turn your head to look around. This, you got to remember, folks, if you're born in the last 25 years or so, there's been a lot of safety improvements in the world of children's toys and anything to do with children's safety. But when I was growing up, there really wasn't that much adherence to safety standards. It was just thrown out there, and everyone did it, and no one questioned it. It was a simpler time. It was a more dangerous time, but it was a simpler time. But and for somehow we got through it. You know, that's what's so funny. For all the precautions that are taken, they're taken nowadays. I don't remember that many tragic accidents. Yes, there were some situations where, on its face, things were dangerous, but we were told, be careful. We were told this could be dangerous, so make sure you do this, and we listened. So I guess we were kind of a more of a responsible lot on our own, and our parents trusted us a little more. I'm not sure what the psychological part of that is, but we're not here to talk about that, although it might be an interesting topic one day. But the great thing around Halloween was when you went to the department store, there was these boxes, and in the box there was a cellophane front, and that was where the mask was of what this costume was. And then the other part of it was just some kind of a slip-on thing for your body that tied around your waist and around your neck, and it was almost like a jumper, and it had some kind of a connection to your mask. So let's say you were Batman, right? There was a Batman mask. And then on this little jumper that you stepped into and tied into, you know, there was the bat signal and, you know, some, and a, the bat a, you know, drawn on, not 3D, you know, a bat, you know, the utility belt. If you were a princess, it looked like a dress, but it wasn't overly designed at all. But you had your mask, and you had, and everybody had these. And if you go online, I'm sure you can, you know, Google, you know, costumes from the 70s, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And it was cool, because every year there would be some different costumes based on what was popular. There was always a vampire. There was always a princess. There was always a devil. But some year there was Casper. Some year there was Fred Flintstone. Some year there was Spider-Man. Whatever was kind of popular at the time would also get a new costume made. And you would see this thing in this little box, this mask with the cellophane, and it was intoxicating. It was hypnotic. It was so cool. You just couldn't wait. And as I said, there was usually at the department store a wall of these, several rows. So you would just be standing there in awe and looking at each one. And, I mean, I was a little kid. I'm assuming that there was a nice mix of, you know, costumes for boys and costumes for girls. And, you know, the boys picked the superheroes or the cowboys or their favorite cartoon character. And the girls did the same thing, as well as there was some tailored to them, like I said before, you know, princess or something like that. Although today, in today's genderless world, anything goes, right? It would be interesting to see if they did that again. What the boys would choose and what the girls would choose. But so I always enjoyed Halloween, and I enjoyed the what are you going to be for Halloween? That talk usually started in early October or so, and I always have fun. And my mom and dad both used to help out make my costumes. So I've always had, and as I got older, we used to get dressed up. But when I was growing up as a teenager, and even into my 20s, Halloween parties were not like they are today. They weren't as popular. It just was a whole different time. It was, you kind of grew out of that. You did trick or treat until you were 7 or 8 or 9, and then you probably didn't wear a costume again until you were in your, you know, mid-20s, and maybe you went to a party and maybe you did. There weren't that many. It's not like today. It's completely different. But I always liked Halloween. And I enjoy trick or treating. I remember, and you know, don't forget, when you're a little kid, you're out trick or treating, so you're never home to answer the door. And as I got older, I mean, I wasn't home during the whole trick or treating thing, so it would just became something from the past, a childhood memory. But then you get older, and then it is incumbent on you now to be the door answerer for the trick or treaters. Circle of life, right? Everything comes around. And so when I first was on my own, we got married. We first had a condo. We were in a big complex. And so, you know, we were on the third floor. So no one was coming to trick or treat by our house. So didn't have to worry about it. And then when we first moved into our first home, around the trick or treat time, suddenly there was a time for it. I mean, we used to go right after school and that was it. Now it's like from 3 to 7, that's the official time, and you can't come later. We would go the doorbell, we would be bringing doorbells until we got tired. And we were out when it was dark, without our parents, yes. But, so I was rarely home because I was always working and around that time. But then every so often, you know, Halloween falls on a weekend, and so you are home for that. And so I was always very enthusiastic. We would always buy the candy, and we would always, you know, answer the door and, give out the candy. But then I noticed that, if you've listened to me before, you know what I'm going to say here. I was getting young, you know, like older kids coming to the door without even a costume on, with just a bag. And expecting me to give them candy. And it's like, well, wait a minute. First of all, you're 16 or 17 years old. You're too old for this. That's A. B, if you're going to do it, hey, how about something for the effort? I went out to Jewel or Walgreens to buy the candy. The least you could do is throw on some makeup on your face or buy a mask. But don't just come up to me. Just don't come up to my door and knock on the door and expect free candy because today's Halloween. You know, it's a little effort on both sides. It's a social contract. And then it was just, I mean, and this was the turning point. So I was, when this happened a couple of years, and I was a little disenchanted by it. And I was like, what the heck is that? Because a lot of times that was most of the people I was getting. I wasn't even getting the little cool, the cute little kids with their little princess or witches or devil's outfits. I was getting these young teenagers that were a little too old, I think, who were just sort of coming up and saying trick or treat. I'm like, you know what? I'm not into this anymore. And the turning point was one time this kid comes up by himself and it's like 8:30. The doorbell has not rung now for an hour and a half or 2 hours, you know? It may even been later than that. It was like, whoa, what the heck is that? And so I'm like, okay, whatever. I open the door and there's this kid and he's kind of tough looking. And I go to answer the door and he goes, you doing it? Like, you giving out candy? You doing it. That's what he said to me. And I was so just repelled by this. The attitude and the lack of effort. Didn't, once again, no costume. You doing it? And I gave him something, and I closed the door, and I locked the screen door, because he kind of had a look to him. And I went back into the house, and I thought to myself, and I said to my wife, you know, there was just this kid out here, and I told her the story, and I said, you know what? I'm done. Sorry, little kids, but this kid ruined it for you. Because then I started to think about the realities of what was happening here. You know, before this was a nice little tradition that had been passed down for generations, something that I had enjoyed doing. But suddenly I felt like it was being taken advantage of. It was being bastardized. And there was a lot of attitude. And I'm saying to myself, you know, in today's world, you know, I'm just expected to give you candy. So I thought there was a real sense of entitlement there. But the other side was, I'm thinking about the realities of this. What a crazy tradition. Yeah, it's fine when little kids come to your house and with their parents, it's fine. But, you know, when older people are coming to your house, they're ringing your doorbell, you're opening your door up to a stranger. Right? And how do I know? Just because you have a bag. We've seen what people are doing today. My gosh, it's Christmas time. You have to have security cameras, especially at apartments or even on people's doorsteps, because at Christmas time, people are stealing your packages that are being delivered to your house. And at least your door is locked when these ne'er-do-wells are doing that. But at Halloween, we willingly open the door. Hello? Who's to say that some young tough doesn't just storm into your house? You open the door a crack and that's all it takes. Maybe there's someone standing on each side and the two or three young toughs come in. Exaggeration? I don't know. Maybe, but precautions? I think so. So, you know, very odd. Let me just put it that way. Very odd. And I think about the realities and I said, you know what? I'm done. I'm not, I mean, that kid really turned me off to this tradition. And I don't feel like answering my door. I don't answer my door. I think I've told you this in the past. I do not answer my front door. Sorry. I lock my screen door and I don't answer my front door. I don't want to be solicited. Every time I open it, it's always somebody asking for something that I'm not interested in. And I'll be honest with you, I have a very hard time dealing with people like that and saying no. I just don't like to do it. So I rarely answer my door. And these days, even when you get a package delivered, my gosh, the FedEx guy or the the UPS or any kind of delivery service, they just ring the doorbell and they run back. By the time, even if you wanted to answer the door, they're back in that truck and off. Unless they have to, you have to sign for it. That's a whole new dynamic too. But we all get that steady stream every so often of people that come to solicit for things. And it's just a pain in the butt. So I do not answer my door. Period. And the outgrowth of that is I don't answer my door at Halloween. So I don't know. That's not a Scrooge. I don't know if that's, if I'm being a Jack Skellington or whatever I'm being, but but I do not answer the door at Halloween. So yes, it rings. And so I, when it is officially trick-or-treat time, and if I am at home, I will lock the doors. I do not decorate the outside of my house for that reason. I do not turn lights on in front of my house. I do not have any candy outside. I lock the screen door and I lock my door and I close the shades. I know this sounds crazy, but this is what I do. And if I have a light on, I basically have the light of the TV on and maybe a small light in the back of the living room so it doesn't reflect out. And I do not answer the door. And so, and sometimes it will ring three or four times. Sometimes there will be poundings on the screen door. But I resist the temptation. We do not even buy candy. And for the couple of hours that it goes on, we just don't answer the door. So I guess you could say, wow, you are really a Debbie Downer, or wow, you're totally not into it. Well, I'm not into it because of the fact that some people ruined it, and they ruined it for me. I don't enjoy being this way, but if I start answering the door for one, I'm going to answer it for everybody, and then I'm going to wind up getting the cocky kid who says, you're doing it. And I'm going to be turned off again. So you know what? Sorry. There's a lot of houses on the block. And then, of course, now there's the new tradition of the parents who basically go out with the kids because, of course, it's dark out, even with the extended daylight saving time. But now that's become kind of a reason for parents to get drunk while they're walking. That's what I like is the parents are there to supervise and protect their kids. Meanwhile, they're drinking beer and wine and crossing the street with their kids. Does anybody question this? How come you can't drink and drive, but on Halloween you can have you can pull your wagon with a six pack and get drunk while you're crossing streets with your kids? Isn't there some kind of judgment in there? Oh, here's some cars coming. Are you really watching your kids? Or are you having a pub crawl? I don't know, folks. Am I the only one that notices this? Am I the only one who notices the hypocrisy of this? Am I the only one who notices the inadequacies of this? But tell me that's not true. Tell me that's not an unsafe thing. If you want to go out with your kids and trick or treat, great. You want to share that experience, fine. It doesn't need to be laced with alcohol. And if it's such a drudgery that you have to get drunk or you have to have a beer or a glass of wine to get through it, then you're really not enjoying it. And are you really having a moment with your kid, which is the whole idea in theory? Or are you having a reason to get together with your friends and have a few beers or have a few glasses of wine while your kids run up and down people's lawns and ring their doorbell for free candy? So I'm sure, once again, I'm not a parent. So I'm sure that people are saying, well, you don't know what it's like, or you're not a parent, you don't get it. No, that's why I can observe this as an objective person to say, that doesn't seem right. Yeah, I the fact that I'm not a parent, once again, gives me, I think, more credibility to look at these kind of activities and point out what's cool about them, or more importantly, what's not, to help maybe change for the better. When you go out next time, this Halloween, don't bring your wagon with a six-pack, or don't bring your wagon with your wine. How about walking and talking with your kid and watching them go up to everything or go up there with them and be engaging in the activity with them? Not just going with them as some kind of safety thing where you're not even paying attention and you're basically having a beer or some wine and talking with your friends down the block. You're not sharing that. You're not making a memory with your kid. Your kid's not going to remember that you were there unless you're active and engaged. And once again, you said, Jim, well, that's easy for you to say. Hey, I purposely did not become a parent, so I didn't want this. But if you're a parent, I would think that that's why you became a parent, to have these moments with your kid. So then why make them about yourself? I'm not being a hypocrite here. It's easy for you to say. It is easy for me to say. I didn't become a parent on purpose. I wasn't looking for all these moments with a child. But if you had a child for those, then experience those moments. Don't ruin them. Don't make them about yourselves. Make them about you and your kid. You can go one night without a beer. Spend some time with your kid. That's what it's about. Like I said, it's like a neighborhood pub crawl. Oh, it's aren't we cool? No. Meanwhile, your kids are going up and down to all the things. You're not even paying attention. I've seen it. I'm not making this up. On Halloween night, you can do without your beer. And you say, well, I'm not going to get drunk. I'm only have one or two beers. Then why have it at all? So you can walk around with your beer on the street? Which I don't understand why that's allowed. Isn't that against the law? Somehow, you know, our laws become whatever we want them to be. I mean, police, you know, should be going up and down streets and arresting parents for drinking out in the public, right? I don't know. I think that's a law, but I guess on Halloween it doesn't matter because everyone's doing it and it's cool. It isn't cool. This is from somebody who's observing this to say, you know what? Go out and spend some time with your kid. You say, well, Jim, why you don't even answer the door. Yeah, I know. I don't answer the door because I don't know who's out there. I don't know if one of these drunken parents are going to do something. Happy Halloween, right? Look, all I'm saying is, at the end of the day, it's supposed to be about you and your kid. If you're going to go out there with your kid, spend some time with them. Don't worry about having your beer. You can have your beer on Saturday. This is their day, not your day. That's my biggest thing. Is that the parents have made Halloween now their day. You know, this was a day for the kids. You're supposed to be a bystander on Halloween when you go out trick-or-treating with your kids. It's not about you. It's about them. So you don't need the wagon with your beer and your keg. That makes it about you. Make it about them. Make some mental pictures of what it was like, what they were this year, and what costumes they wore, and how you helped them, and watch them go up to this to everybody's home, and see the look on the people's face, or go up with them, and experience it together. That's the thing. Not just safety of them walking at night, which is good, fine. You want to do that, fine. But share the experience with them. It's their night. That's what's frustrating me so much, is that we make everything about ourselves now. Even adults, they take things away from other people, from their kids. Halloween is for little kids. That's what it's for. And if you're a parent, trick-or-treating is about your kids, not about you. Now, I don't know, once again, how that, I don't know how I got on that tangent, but because my point, my original point, which I have my notes here, was my point was how I don't open the door and how I got turned off to open the door because I felt that a lot of people were getting some free candy for nothing, for no effort. Then I was online a few weeks ago and I saw a story that said tips on how to keep away from trick-or-treaters. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I'm not alone out here. And there was several stories. There were several stories with tips on how to avoid trick-or-treaters. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. I've been avoiding trick-or-treaters for decades. This is nothing new. Once again, I told you so. That's why it's always good to listen to previous podcasts, because when I do refer to things I talked about several months ago or weeks ago or years ago, I'll mostly do it so I could say I told you so. Oh, that's the charm of an Elton Jim, isn't it? But and so I told you so. I've been avoiding trick-or-treaters for years. And the funny thing is, all these tips I found in a few of these stories, I invented them. There wasn't one tip that I don't do. They said, turn your outside lights off. That's what I always did and always do. Go out. Sometimes we will go out, so the doorbell's not there. If so, close your shades. I do that. Ignore the bell. I do that. Now, they do say put some candy outside. I don't believe in that. Because I think a lot of people in today's world take way too much candy, and then the candy will, you know, if you don't go out there and replenish it, it'll be gone. And then if you go replenish it and you open the door and someone sees you, then you're stuck. See, I don't want to get caught. So I don't leave the candy out. I don't turn the lights on. I don't decorate. I think I'm sending a signal. Pass me up. Pass me by. Now, there's one on here which I never thought of, which is really mean. It says, post a sign that says, not giving out candy. Wow, that's a little too honest for me. Or some say, get a big beware of dog sign. I won't go to those lengths. I think if I don't decorate outside, and I decorate inside our house, we have a lot of, Halloween decorations in our house for ourselves. But on the outside, there's nothing there, so that's I'm not inviting you to look at my house and my decorations, which might then lead you to come up to my door. My lights aren't on. There's no candy. So, you know, and if you see that the people in front of you came to my house and I didn't answer, then you should see that I'm not answering or I'm not home. But I found it interesting how there are now stories about how to avoid trick-or-treaters. Folks, I've been avoiding trick-or-treaters for years. So once again, Elton Jim at the forefront of a new trend. And that new trend, not answering the door on Halloween and avoiding trick-or-treaters and being that old curmudgeon on the block. But if I can leave you with one thing, and I didn't even expect to get into this, but I guess I did, is when you're trick-or-treating with your kids out there, if you do have kids, make it about them. Don't make it about yourselves. You do enough for yourself. This is their day. This is their moment. This is their memory. Let them have their memory. Let them have their day and share their memory with them. It doesn't need to be about you, right? And on that note, happy Halloween. And welcome back to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. And now we stroll on over to the Pop Culture Club with Emily Arminetti. Hello, Emily.
Hey, Jim.
Well, here's a surprise. Who could have predicted this? The only shock in this is that it happened this fast. Even I, the king of cynicism, who expected the Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson engagement to go up in flames eventually and quickly, I couldn't even have predicted it would happen within 2 or 3 months. But I turn to you because, of course, in our original discussion back in June, when this first broke, I mean, this wasn't even a 2 or 3 month relationship, right?
Yeah, not 4 months, maybe 3 or 4 months.
I mean, it was something to pass the summer tabloid since it's a slow time.
Yeah.
And at least it lasted past the premiere of Saturday Night Live, so Pete Davidson could finally get into some skits. Because you'll never see.
Although we will, she was. I think she was supposed to be the musical guest on the season premiere,
yeah.
And she canceled that.
So, oh yeah,
yeah,
because she was in mourning. Yeah, there's. Believe me, this thing ended even before then. I believe, I think this ended quite a while ago, and they've been keeping it under wraps, and they wanted to make sure. You know, once again, I think there was a lot of other. You know, considerations going on. But regardless, I went back and listened to the podcast from June when we first talked about Ariana and Pete Davidson. And I said how this was going to go up in flames.
Right.
But this is when we first learned your new catchphrase.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What is it?
You tell me.
No, it's your catchphrase. you should have it on. Isn't it on mugs now? I went on Pinterest, and
I'm selling T-shirts.
Yeah, it's on mugs and T-shirts on Pinterest.
On Etsy. Yeah, Etsy.
I mean, there's some that even have like rhinestones. Really?
Right.
Yeah. Really nice. So, what is your phrase?
I think what I said was that I root for love. So although I did not think that this relationship seemed like it was maybe going to last, I hesitated to really make that prediction because ultimately I would like for everyone to be happy. I would rather have them work out than not work out because, you know, I just don't ever want to see anyone.
But you're not surprised now. Suddenly you're not surprised.
No.
Okay. You remind me of Jimmy Cagney right now. Let's see. I'm trying to think of a more modern. Who's a more modern day tap dancer?
There really aren't any.
That's true.
Like,
you know,
that's like a lost art form. They should bring them back.
What was the guy? Yeah. Who was the guy that did Stomp? Remember that? There was a live.
I'm thinking more like, what's his name? The guy, I can't think of anyone more recent than, who were the guys in the 80s that did all the dance?
Who was the guy that was with Billy Crystal in that movie?
Yeah,
guy. I know, that drives me crazy. Do you have your Google machine?
Yeah, I have it.
Yeah, hit you.
What do I even Google?
Put Scared Straight with Billy Crystal.
Scared Straight, okay.
Yeah. Maurice and something. He had a brother. Oh, God. He was in History of the World Part 1, too.
Wait, Scared Straight. Are you sure the same guy was in that?
Or Billy Crystal and him were the dude.
No, it was the one. There was a song. What was the song?
Yeah, but it was Billy
Crystal. It was like a Michael McDonald song.
Right, because it was from that movie. It was the Billy Crystal movie.
Okay, hold on.
Maurice. Wow. Wasn't it
just having to piece this together? Is...
Was it called? It wasn't called Scared.
Running scared.
I know it was Scared something.
What did you say? Scared.
Scared
straight.
That was that. That was that thing about
Gregory Hines.
Gregory Hines and Maurice Hines is his brother. Yeah, Gregory Hines.
I can't think of anyone more modern,
right?
Tap dancer than Gregory Hines, and he's been dead.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Well, you are Gregory Hinesing on this.
Ooh,
Ariana.
He died in 2003.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
only 57 years old.
Was that how old he was? 57?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, liver cancer. Well, that'll do
it. My gosh, the guy from Microsoft, Peter Allen, died. Or was his name? Was his name Peter Allen? No, Paul Allen. Peter Allen. Peter Allen was the flamboyant singer who was married to Liza Minnelli.
Oh, geez.
And who's who wrote "I Honestly Love You"?
Huh.
You know who Peter Allen is? No.
Well, no. I mean,
you never heard of Peter Allen?
No.
Really?
I didn't know that off the top of my head.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. he was bisexual, and he of course was married to Liza.
Right.
And he wrote "I Honestly Love You," the Olivia Newton-John song. But then he had also a cheeky song called "I'm Bi-Coastal."
Oh, come on.
Yeah. It was hilarious. Paul Allen, 65 years old from Microsoft. It just goes to show you.
Yeah,
you
can have, I know, right?
He had $26 billion and it didn't matter, you know?
Now, how did he die?
He had cancer. He had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh boy!
Yeah, but yeah, you are tap dancing. You are the Gregory Hines of this conversation, because you root for love, and I scoff at it.
Yeah,
I only.
You don't have to be so crabby about.
I'm not crabby. I'm just once again.
I like young people. I want them all to just be happy.
Oh my God. I love it. I just love rainbows and puppy dogs and cats playing the keyboards.
And Ariana Grande.
I was so perplexed, not only because the whole thing was so ridiculous in that she was so out of his league on every level.
He definitely acknowledged that.
I understand that, but I mean, it was she was clearly either rebounding or she was just needing a diversion, and this guy, more power to him, had the guts to even go up and ask her out or even talk to her. I give him credit for that, because if I was him, I would never have done that in a similar situation. So I give him credit for that. But my gosh, they went from meeting each other to getting engaged in 10 seconds. The tabloids just ate it up, because there's nothing going on in the summer. We were having...
And then, of course, there was that whole... They had to go through that whole... what generation are these people anyway? They're not millennials.
No, they're Y. Generation Y.
So they had to go through this whole Generation Y rite of passage of getting like matching tattoos.
Oh, the whole, yeah, we had to see all.
That's like the new thing.
And we even talked, as I listened back to our original discussion, and we even talked about the tattoos and how, you shouldn't put ink.
Okay, so, well.
Because
so
Johnny Depp learned that with Winona Ryder.
That's right.
And his other wife.
That's right. Yeah, now he's got Wino Forever on his arm.
Which, sadly, he's now living up to.
Turned out to be a self-fulfilled prophecy. But, what's so interesting is that a couple days before they announced that they broke up, and I actually thought of you, and I almost sent this to you, and I didn't, and I should have. Pete Davidson, all of a sudden, so he had behind his, he had tattooed at one point behind his ear on his neck, a little bunny. It almost looks like the Playboy bunny logo. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
the Playboy logo.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't know that.
You know, she kind of, when she first came on the scene, she wore those bunny ears.
Right, right. Like
And so that's sort of like associated with her. And he had that tattooed on his neck, sort of behind his ear. And just a few days before they made this announcement that they had broken up, I wondered if something was up, because all of a sudden there was a picture of him that popped up, and he had, that had been converted into, because it was a black bunny, it had been converted into a black heart. So it was tattooed over, or
that's
maybe,
what I'm saying. I think that this was
was a clear sign. I'm surprised that the media wasn't already speculating, because when I read it, it was just more like, oh, Pete Davidson covers up his Ariana Grande tattoo. And I instantly thought to myself,
I think that that there was a delay. And I think this breakup happened a long time ago. And I think, not real long, but several weeks before. And I think that they elongated the announcement to A, and I'm not even joking about this. I think they did do that so that it would not interfere with the opening of Saturday Night Live. And I also think that they also waited, because if they would have done it when it really happened, I think it would have been a I mean, it's a joke now anyway, but I mean, it was, everybody was waiting for this to happen, and as I said, no one expected it to happen this fast. And I think if it would have, if they would have announced this when this really happened, perhaps in mid-August sometime or early September, I think that people would have said, "Oh my God, this thing really was a summer romance." And you know, why did we spend so much? Because so many people, you're not the only Gregory Hines in this. A lot of people are tap dancing and backpedaling now on, "Oh, well, they were so young, and oh, it's such a shame." And, well, you know, I mean, it really kind of was destined. It's like, well, then why didn't you say that at the time?
Well, yeah, I think her people were saying, you know, well, it was just a lot really fast.
Which of course, anybody with any sense. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, what's so funny is that they were like the first breakout summer romance, and then they went from 0 to 60,
yeah,
and got engaged, and then Bieber comes on later, and he gets married.
Right. So now Bieber's like, "Whoa, hold on a second. Wait a second. I could have gotten out of this."
Yeah. I mean, he's like, "Yeah, I only did that so I could, you know, steal some attention. I didn't mean, yeah, I can't wait to see how long that thing lasts." Although, who knows? We'll see about that. But this Ariana Grande thing, and I mean, at least with Bieber and his wife, if they are married, because there's still questions about that whole BS, but at least I would say they're both in the same kind of league, you know, in terms of, I mean, he's obviously a big pop star, but she's got some lineage. She's Stephen Baldwin's, you know, niece or daughter, Alec Baldwin's niece. Mm-hmm. She is a model of some kind, right?
She's quite stunning, actually.
Yeah. So my point is that at least they're not out of each other's strata.
No.
This thing with Ariana, this was like, she just wanted to get her hands dirty for a while. Because I guarantee you, the next guy she goes out with is going to be some big hunky guy. I guarantee you.
Well, I think she's going to lay low for a while because, you know, all of a sudden now she's yet another rite of passage for Generation Y. She's off social media for now. Oh. She's announced she's taking a step back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because it's just, there's just too much out there.
Well, I'm just saying, when she comes back, watch what happens. She's not going to be with some 6'7" dorky guy that no one even heard of. He is the most unknown 5-year veteran of Saturday Night Live in the history of the show. He's been on for 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he's also the youngest member, I think.
Well, you know, it's funny. I heard an interview with him.
The youngest cast member. When he joined, I think he was like, that was like his.
Well, I heard an interview with him recently, and I didn't know a lot of his background because to me he was very insignificant on the show. But apparently his father died in 9/11.
Yeah, he did.
So that's a whole
thing. I think he was a firefighter.
Yeah, he was.
Who went into the towers.
And from what I understand, based on what he said, I mean, how he got Saturday Night Live was ridiculous. Bill Hader did a 5-minute scene with him in some movie, I think, that they were both in. And for some reason, he took a liking to him, called up Lorne Michaels and said, "You should see this guy." They audition him. His audition does terrible. Lorne Michaels says, "Well, I think you're just kind of a little too young for this, but, you know, we'll keep your eye on you." And they basically said nothing. And then 2 weeks later, Lorne Michaels calls and says, "You know, I don't know, but let's just try it."
Right.
And I think, and I'm, once again, you're going to say I'm Mr. Cynical, I actually believe it was because he was a 9/11 connection. I think that there was some paternal instinct with a lot of these people, like, "Oh, here's this 21-year-old kid who's gone through 9/11 and, you know, his father." And, you know, especially, don't forget, the show is in New York. So there's, you know, 9/11 is a very intense thing in New York.
Yeah.
And I think that there was some kind of a, you know, it takes a village, and like, you know, maybe we can just, let's give this kid a shot. You know, he doesn't deserve it.
I mean, that said, though, I don't watch SNL that much, but like once in a while, of course, now you catch clips of it all the time, you know, it's like,
yeah,
because they're all online. But everything I've seen him do has always been funny. Like,
really?
When he shows up on Weekend Update and he does little, yeah, and
you
like,
think that's funny.
Even, you know, like lately he's been kind of popping up in,
oh my god, this was the greatest
the
thing for his
sketches.
Oh yeah,
he's
this
been
was
playing one of the one of the members of the judiciary committee. I forget which one, but
yeah, well, you won't see him anymore.
He's a decent, I mean, but that said, he is kind of an ancillary cast member, know, like he kind of pops up when they need some background and stuff, you know.
No, that's he's the waiter. He's the waiter in the scene.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't know what goes on in the writer's room. I mean, who knows how much he contributes.
Okay, just
to
take
that.
It from but me. You're not going to see Pete Davidson being. First of all, he was never a headline of any skits, and now he's going to go back into obscurity. And he'll be.
Yeah.
He's basically a trivia question now.
Oh.
Oh.
Now you're making me feel bad.
Why? You rooted for Love. So who are you rooting for now?
Oh my gosh, who am I rooting for now? I don't even know.
I mean, you got to find some new. Your main rooters are gone. I mean, you know, Bieber's married, so you can't even root for that.
I know. Well, but, I mean, I'm rooting for them too. I hope they make it. I hope they're married. I hope they're married
for 40 years. Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to see. Yeah, wait till he goes on tour again. Oops.
I hope they're like, you know, the Tom Hanks and Rita
Wilson.
What's her name?
Rita Wilson
of the, of their generation.
Oh, God. But, so once again, surprise, surprise. I mean, everybody in the world saw that. And even, I have to think, even the people who were reporting on this and making such a big deal, we are in such of a need of content on a minute-by-minute basis that I would have to think that even the people and all these websites and on all these online things that wrote about this and all the paparazzi, they all knew this was going to happen. Like I said, I'm shocked that it happened this quick. I was hedging a little just because, well, you know.
Yeah, I think you thought they'd make it at least through the holidays.
Yeah, I figured at least. I mean, if I'm him, I mean, I think she broke up with him. Isn't that the way it sort of fell?
Oh, well, come on. I mean, what do you think?
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, I think she wore the pants, the underwear, the boots, you name it. She wore everything in that relationship. Because if I'm him, could you imagine what the nice Christmas present would have been? I mean, you know.
Well,
so he didn't even get around for that. Now, I did hear, apparently, and I'm mad that I even am listening to this, that he bought her like a $92,000 or $93,000 ring.
Oh, wow.
But she did give it back.
Yeah, I read that she gave it back. I mean, that's the right thing to do.
Well, yeah.
If
he needs $93,000.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't, she makes that in a day.
Yeah, that's quite a splurge for him, I would say.
I'm sure, I mean, so, but... Yeah, so that's gone, and then the same week, this was a big week for you with all your favorites. So you're, even though it was sad news, and even though your rooting for Love turned out to be a hopeless cause, as I predicted. Now you are hoping for you are rooting for Love,
yes,
with the Royals,
always,
because you love. I mean, I don't know. I based on your conversation and the excitement and enthusiasm and defensiveness of the latest royal couple, I would have to say that you are more of a Meghan Markle fan than you are of a Sarah Middleton fan.
You mean Kate Middleton?
I don't even know her name.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Why
did I say Sarah? Where did I get Sarah from?
You know, I've never really been that. Maybe you were thinking of Fergie. You know, her name
is
Sarah.
Yeah, right. Sarah Ferguson.
Sarah Ferguson.
Yeah.
But you know what? I was not even really, I was never really that into Kate Middleton. And when they got married, I really wasn't interested in it. I didn't really watch the wedding.
Really?
And Yeah, my son was a baby at the time, though, so I was kind of...
So were you not a big William fan?
I mean, I love William and Harry both, but I don't know. You know, there's something about Kate Middleton. I don't know. I just never really thought she was that interesting.
Yeah,
and,
now you love Meghan Markle because she's an actress.
Did I ever tell you? I saw her walking down the street in London about 2 weeks before I moved back to the States.
Who?
Kate Middleton. I passed her on the street. This was before they were... Yeah. They were...
How did you know? You knew what she looked like?
Of course I knew what she looked like. She'd been in the tabloids for years.
Wow. So you...
They were on... They dated...
I understand this. I'm just surprised. I wouldn't have been able to... I mean, she's not that distinctive looking.
Yes, she is. Well, I mean, really? I don't know what I... I mean, I know what she looks like.
Yeah, I guess.
Do you not know what she
looks
like?
I'm just saying, my point, I know what she looks like, but my point is, in the...
In a crowd of people
on a busy London street,
it wasn't a crowd. It was actually in the middle of the day, and I had just left lunch with a friend of mine in Chelsea, which was where I lived, and it is also where she lived at the time, although she didn't live, like, in the immediate vicinity of where I lived. She lived... I mean, nothing in Chelsea is that far, but it wasn't like she lived two blocks away from me. You know, maybe lived, let's say, 10 blocks away from me.
Yeah.
And I left lunch with a friend, and I was walking down this, you know, just walking a couple blocks from the restaurant. There weren't really that many people around. And she and I passed each other on the street, and she caught my attention because she looked distressed.
Uh-oh.
She looked like she had been crying.
Oh, my goodness.
And I almost, in the moment that I realized, like, in the split second before I realized.
Did you just walk past each other? Is that what was happening?
I almost said, like, are you okay? Because that's a normal thing to do if you see a strange, you know, if you see someone on the street who looks distressed.
Were you just walking? Were you walking past her, or she was standing still, or what?
We were passing. No, she was walking and I was walking. We were literally passing each other on the sidewalk. But of course, my instinct to be like, are you okay, was abruptly like stopped by my realization that, oh my gosh, that's Kate Middleton. Therefore, I probably should not talk to her. You know, like suddenly she was not like, I just suddenly felt like it would probably distress her more to have someone pay any attention to her, even if it's just like an honest, like, oh my gosh, reaching out to a stranger that you see.
Now, do you remember what was the state of their relationship at the time?
They were together at the time. They were graduated from college. She had been living and working in London. They were following her every move at that time.
Yeah. So
like
maybe
the tabloids and the press and everything.
Yeah.
She and William had a period where they had broken up, or at least told people they had broken up.
Right.
But then they got back together, and I think a lot of people speculated that maybe they never had broken up. Maybe they were just trying to get the media off their backs. They were not engaged, but they were not engaged yet. I mean, they were still, I think, a couple of years from that, or at least a year. Because this would have been in 2009, summer of 2009. And I think they got married. Like I said, you know, it was definitely, I would say, after my son was born, because he was a baby when they got married. Which I remember because, again, like I remember somebody asking me at the time, like, oh, are you going to watch the royal wedding? And I was like, I am lucky if I get any sleep. I am not getting up in the middle of the night to watch this wedding.
Well, I just think that you are more captivated by Meghan because she's an actress, because she's more fashion oriented. I think she plays into all your hot spots.
All of my, this is very much my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I can't explain. There's just something about her, though, that is very captivating. You know, I see her. You know, obviously you see her being interviewed now, and you kind of see her speak. And now that she's in this role as the Duchess, and she's just so elegant and poised and beautiful. And like you said, she's very fashionable, and I love following the fashion.
Wow,
know?
Listen to
and
you.
Oh my God,
you are infatuated.
I love her. And I can honestly see.
Did you ever watch her on Suits?
Now I sound like a crazy person.
You do!
I feel like I can see now why Harry fell for her.
Oh, my God.
She's just very... She just has a certain...
Did you ever watch her on Suits?
No, I never did. But, hey, you know, I've got Netflix. I've got Hulu. I could probably go back and I could probably start watching.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is unbelievable. Well,
yeah.
I mean,
so... They have big news.
So they bid a big news, I mean, which I thought was interesting how... I mean, I feel if you're not... in the William or Harry lineage or sphere in the royal family, you really don't count.
Okay,
I mean,
well, you know, I disagree with you about that.
The other kids, well, my point is, so Eugenie,
Eugenie
got married. Eugenie. Now, she is the daughter of Sarah Ferguson, Fergie, and Prince...
Prince Andrew. Yes.
Now, once again, Prince Andrew, interesting royal family. When he was married to Fergie, big tabloid stuff. They had their kids. However, Andrew is next, you know, is not even in the lineage anymore in terms of being a king, because once, you know, Charles had William, then William jumps above Andrew. So there's always
William and Harry both.
That's what I'm saying. But once they had William, Andrew was beginning his descent. So my point is then there's always been interest. He's a royal, there's no question. But he's back burner royal family. And then his kids, after the Fergie debacle in that marriage, which was all in the tabloids, once that was done, the kids have just gone on. And they will pop up every so often. They're still royals. I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, animosity because they don't get the same kind of... And that was a reason for all the crazy hats that her and her sister were wearing at all these events. So look at me, look at me, look at me.
Trying to steal the thunder.
Which they did. They were able, you know, so then her wedding comes on. She got married on a couple of Fridays ago. I mean, her, you know
last
between...
Friday. It was just last Friday.
Meghan Markle and, you know, Kate Middleton, their weddings are on live television, every station, people getting up at 3 in the morning. Eugenie's, I don't even think, was on TV land.
No.
I mean, no one knew that she got married. If they did, they didn't watch it, and they didn't care. And as we said, no one knows how to say her name anyway. I always thought it was
true.
Eugenie.
Everyone's been saying Eugenie.
Eugenie. And
or
then
even
what?
Eugenie.
Eugenie, yeah.
It's Eugenie. Eugenie.
And then her sister is Beatrice, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So she got married, which I think is funny. I mean, less than a year than after Meghan Markle's, which is, you know, I mean, she, in my opinion, she should have let that die but once again, she's trying to, you know, I think the goal was, look, there's interest in the royals right now. Everybody's shining on Meghan, so at least, you know, there's some interest in the royals again. Because Kate Middleton and William now, they're an old couple. No one cares. They've done their job.
Yeah, and Meghan Markle has totally eclipsed Kate Middleton.
Definitely, yeah. But, you know. But Kate Middleton's job was to have the heirs. She did her job. She shows up, and... they don't even care. You know, if William had hair, he'd still be a heart, but he's bald. No one really cares about him anymore. It's true. It's sad. Sad, but true. I mean, that's true. He's not, you know, because of his big bald head.
He is still a prince, but.
Right,
you know,
but he's because of his big bald head, he is no longer, he's not.
Oh
no,
gosh.
It's true. He's not, you know, he was being set up to be our John F. Kennedy Jr.
Right.
Because he was a good-looking young kid.
Yeah.
Now he looks like he's 100. He looks old.
Well, he just looks middle-aged.
Well, yeah, but he's only 30, and he looks like 50.
No, he's not 30. I don't know what time warp you're
He's 35. What is he, 36, 37? He's not 50.
Well, I think Kate Middleton is at least 36. So
he looks 50.
Let me just consult my Google
Go on machine. Your Google machine. I predict, first of all, William looks older than his father.
Google.
All right.
Well, he, yeah, but this is what I'm saying. You know, time.
Well, I'm just saying. So they have, they are. Yes, he's going to be the next king.
He's and 36.
Yeah, 36 that's my point. He looks 50, and if he was smart, he would always wear a crown. If I were him, and he didn't want to go to the hair club, he should wear a crown. I mean, he can.
Oh, that would be so funny if he
did. Hide that. Don't be, you know, he's embracing this male pattern baldness. I don't know why. Wear your crown.
He doesn't have a choice.
No, but wear, yes, but right, but wear your crown. Wear your crown.
He's going to show up, you know.
Yes, he could. He could do that.
At the fox hunting.
With a crown. He's one of the few guys who can wear a crown and get away with it.
Just sitting there at Wimbledon. Just
with a crown.
Casually watching with his crown on
his head. Yes. It would look better than what the look he's got now. So like, my point is, they're old fogies. They got three kids. He looks like he's 100. She's always been very conservative, whatever. So now you've got Harry, the vagabond with the big bushy head of hair, which everybody loves, the big bushy head of hair, even though they don't have the same father.
They do.
No, they don't. No, he's clearly Hewison's son.
You know what? You say that, but and my husband always says that too. But I would say you need to go and look up photos of Prince Philip. You know who Prince Philip is, right?
Yeah, the Queen's husband, Prince Philip.
Harry's grandfather. Go and look up pictures of Prince Philip when he was in his 30s, and you will see a very strong resemblance between him and
Harry. My point is, Harry and Markle, Meghan, are the big starry-eyed couple.
Yeah.
The press loves them. She's fashionable. She's pretty. He's young. He's rugged. They eclipse everybody. Eugenie over here has her wedding in the shadow of Meghan. And then what I love is Meghan says, okay, have your day, because tomorrow I'm going to drop the bombshell, and people will, not only did not people know about Eugenie's wedding, a day after it, they don't care about it anymore, because this one drops a bomb about another royal baby.
Okay, so I told you, on Friday, which is when the wedding took place, I saw a photo of Meghan Markle getting out of a car at the wedding, and she was wearing this, what almost seemed to be intentionally boxy-looking coat, and I texted one of my friends from London, who, you know, one of my British friends, and I said, I am predicting right now that she is pregnant.
Wow,
Monday
look at you.
Morning, I wake up, and the headline is that they have officially, not just speculation. They have officially announced this. Now, first of all, I thought, wow, even I didn't know I was that good. Okay. Second of all, I did feel a little bit like, wow, wait, like they really stole Eugenie's thunder.
Then I see
Hoda and Kathy, or not Kathy Lee. Kathy Lee wasn't on, but Jenna Bush Hager was on with Hoda on Monday morning, and they were talking about this announcement. And they were saying, this I think was more speculation. I don't think this was based on any real investigative reporting.
You don't think Hoda is an investigative reporter?
Jenna Bush? Hoda's got the chops.
Oh, yeah, and Jenna Bush has chops.
So they were saying that Meghan and Harry were reportedly telling family members at the wedding because they were kind of all there and they could tell people in person. Now, I don't believe that for a second. Wow. Because even normal everyday people who have like a rudimentary understanding of, you know, etiquette or decorum would not do that.
Okay, but
these people live their lives based
on but
very
you know what?
Strict protocols.
Yeah,
so
but see,
there's no way.
Yeah,
they
but
were
you're giving them.
The
yeah, but see, you're giving them way too credit, because at the end of the day, they are millennials, and millennials can't keep anything about themselves to themselves. So I don't care what the protocol is. I'm sure they were telling people, and once again, to have announced it a day after this wedding, that is, look at me, look at me, look at me.
Maybe, but I did wonder why. What's the reason to rush out? Maybe it was because they were literally going to be landing in Australia for this. They have this big common wealth.
They could have kept it. So, they could have let her have at least 24 hours.
Yeah, it's hard to understand.
So
I just think they've got, so the baby's coming. They seem all the timelines that reporting in the media seem to be suggesting that she really is just at kind of that 12-week mark. So that's really when you just start telling people. So that's another thing that you wonder. It's like, why the rush to tell people when you're at a point where most normal everyday people only just start telling people. Yeah. And then on top of it, you know, she's a very petite woman. She's very fit. She's probably not really going to start showing for
Okay.
So what's the rush?
Well, here's the rush. But, because once again, you are clouded by your infatuation. I can look at this from an objective view.
They can do no wrong.
Oh, I know that. It's clear. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I believe that if we start checking the calendar, I believe you're going to see her showing a lot quicker. And I believe that you're going to see a premature baby born. And I would not be surprised if she was pregnant at the wedding.
No chance.
Okay.
All right.
Mark it down. Episode 127. Because I believe it was episode 125 when I predicted the Pete Davidson and Ariana breakup, of which you said, I root for love. And so now I am at 127. So we will go back several months from now.
Okay.
And
they were married in May. They were married in May.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
They seemed very, very anxious to announce this as quick as they could. That, you know, they could have announced this a week before the wedding. As soon as the vows were done and they were officially, you know, Eugenie, whatever the heck her name is,
Eugenie
was officially married, this story broke. I mean, they could not wait to get this out, and there had to be a reason for that, and I think that they're trying to beat the calendar.
Okay, well, here's the thing. They say the baby's due at the end of April.
So I hope that investigative reporter Jenna Bush gets right on this.
Well, I'm sure she will. She and Hoda will be following this closely.
Oh, I hope so.
But, so they say that the baby is due at the end of April. I haven't really done the math, but I don't know if that fits with the whole idea that she's maybe around 12 weeks right now. But for you to be right, that baby would have to be born in, like, let's say January, maybe February at the latest, because these people have been married since May.
All right. I'm just saying. We'll see.
Well, but listen, one way or the other, I think it's exciting. I think it's great for them.
You are so bad.
And you know what? And I've already articulated all of the reasons why I find her fascinating. But I actually think if I really think about it, like, what is it about her and the two of them? I honestly think it's that, and I think this is why the world is, like, fascinated with her right now. It's that they really, truly seem like they are really in love. And I think, like, really, why, like, crazy about each other in love. And I think that when it comes to the royal family, that is such a departure from what you've seen in the past. I mean, Kate and William, I think they're legit. You know, I mean, they were college sweethearts, but they're so reserved and they're not. They're more traditional in the sense that they don't show a lot of PDA or anything like that. But then you think about, we've talked about this before, you know, Charles and Diana. I mean, these people were not even married yet, and they barely seemed like they liked each other. You know what I mean? So
I get it.
That this new generation of royals are saying, you know what? I'm not going to marry someone because they're the right title or they come from the right bloodline or this or that. I'm going to marry someone that I'm in love with because I saw the mistakes that my parents made and I don't want to repeat them. And I think that's great. So.
And I think that is spoken by a true person who roots for love. And on that note, we will say our best to the parents to be. And hopefully the baby won't be born in mid-February. All right. Well, we will talk to you next time, Emily. Thanks for your royal comments.
All right. Anytime. Thanks, Jim. Okay.
And that wraps up another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your podcasting pleasure. Thanks for listening and hope you will come by every week. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. This is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic from the end of the web to your screen.